It's a feeling other than guilt. It's a feeling opposite of guilt. It's the next right thing. See? You should make the new one go away hungry again. See, at that point, when you're receiving a fifth step, you're supposed to make the new guy feel like, yeah, man, come on. You can change. You can do better. Come on. Come up. Didn't you feel something there? We took some actions. That's the faith. And now you're supposed to have hope. That's right. We go on right on. Thus, preparing ourselves for the following steps, 6 through 12. This is what it says at the end of 5. Thus, preparing ourselves for the following steps, 6 through 12, on toward a full and meaningful sobriety. That's where you're going, dude. You're not supposed to sit around here and be a dork. You're going someplace on to more meaningful and better sobriety. That doesn't mean serenity and everything's wonderful. A better sobriety. In other words, that saying right there, quote out of the book, that just being sober is not enough. Right? It goes on to say in step 5, into action, we have admitted certain defects. We have put our finger on the weak items in our personal inventory, the exact nature of our defects. That's what we're doing with God and another human being. We're admitting to this other human being, with God as my witness, the stuff I found out in step 4th column, and I'm putting my finger right there. I was wrong right here. Like I blame my stepmother for not, you know, me not ever having a mother. And finally, after I was sober some period of time on my 8th, put her on my 8-step list, went to see her and said, you're the only mother I've ever known. And then she died. But my house was in order when she died. We remember, in actual practice, we usually find a solitary self-appraisal is insufficient. All these people said, I wrote and I see what's wrong. That's what it's talking about right here. Everybody says, I see where I was wrong. I rationalized my own behavior. In the book, it says, we remember, in an actual practice, we usually find a solitary self-appraisal is insufficient. Why would we think so? The first word in the first step is we, right? We. If we skip the vital step, we may not overcome drinking. Quote, unquote. Time after time, people have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives, and almost invariably, they got drunk. Matt Miller. I just played his little plea the other night. It also goes on to say that alcoholics are under constant fear and tension. That makes for more drinking. If you don't do this fifth step right, you're in constant fear and tension. Lack of control. Constant fear and tension. Playing God is lack of control. Constant fear and tension. If you don't get in this fifth step with God and another human being, you see the exact nature of your wrongs, you're in constant fear and tension. And that's the way humans are when they play God. See? The bottom line. When I got here, I still had some yets. Everybody's got some yets. I had some pretty bad experiences. And when I got to that fifth step, I saw that I still had some yets. But my yets will pick up where my yets left off. So don't be misconfused that your yets will pick up where my yets left off. Your yets will pick up where your yets left off, not my yets. So your yets are your yets, not my yets. And everybody has some yets. Yet. Okay? Just because we all are sitting in this room tonight does not mean we will have equal yets. Sue and I will pick up where we left off with the disease, the progressiveness of our disease. And our progressiveness is the part that we have no control over. As my character defects progress, and as I manifest them and get pleasure out of them, then my disease progresses. Sober defects left unattended and fueled by pleasure of these defects will render much pain. See, if you seem to want to pursue your character defects, which is step 6, and you see this in step 5 from your step 4 fourth column, if you don't admit the exact natures to your wrongs, to yourself, God and another human being to your witness, if you play games with this and you allow that other human being that you did your fifth step with to go on out of your life and you have little secret innuendos, then you won't change. And the whole point is to change. The whole point of step 5 for me was to see the truth. The biggest relief I had in step 5 was all the things, the lies I'd made up about myself that were not truth, they fell off. I killed a person in anger, rage. And when I was sober about 7 years, I took that to my fifth step. I took it to my first fifth step. I took it to my second fifth step. I took it to Chuck Chamberlain at 6 years sober when I did my last fifth step. And it was explained to me how I'm supposed to treat that. That's my experience. But it was my experience. And I had a certain amount of guilt for it, but it was a death and I couldn't take care of it. I didn't believe in all this thing of sending letters to the graveyard and all that. So I prayed about it. I was sitting in a meeting in Irvine, and I came in, and the room was full, so I had to sit kind of up here in the corner, like over here, so I could looking back at the whole audience. And newcomers came in a van and from a hospital. And one of the newcomers in the back of the room fixing some coffee, and I saw him fall down, and he was gagging and spitting, and I could see him because I was sitting up here and I was looking back. I instinctively, intuitively, not the old me, a new me, jumped up and ran all the way across that room, grabbed that guy and got a popsicle stick and pulled his tongue out of his mouth. The paramedics came and said I saved his life. Now, normally I would have left him alone because I didn't want to be involved, but something had changed at me at, let's say, 7 years sober, because I had done this inventory, because I cared for people, because he was a newcomer and it was obvious. I pulled that guy's tongue out of his mouth. No big deal. We went on. But when I went back to my sponsor and spiritual advisor and told him about it, they said, you know that person you killed? Maybe this accounts for that. A tit for a tat. Maybe. And I'll take it. There's several experiences in my life of sobriety like that. I'm not going to say anything is a balance. I believe because I took a life, I have to keep doing what I'm doing tonight for the rest of my life for that to be amended. I took a life, then I have to be giving something in this program for the rest of my life for that life I took. I believe that. Okay? The same way with family amends. I believe the way I treated my family, my amends is to do the right things for my wife and my daughter that I abused for the rest of my life. Divorce and running was not an option. What she did is not up to me. But for me to run from that responsibility was wrong. And she chose to stay. The fact that I killed a person that came out in my fifth step, and what came out from the person that shared with me about that was that I have this amends to make. I was in a meeting and I mentioned that I understood death. I had taken a life in a general way. And a guy came up to me and he told me that he'd kill somebody when he was drinking. And he was 5 years sober and he couldn't enjoy his sobriety. He'd never be able to enjoy sobriety and what sobriety is supposed to give because he'd committed the cardinal sin. That's to take a life. And I said to him, meet me here. And I drove 2 hours and he drove 2 hours and we met. And he brought me the information. In that information, I found out where this guy had lived that he was supposed to have killed. I found out what business he was in. I found out particulars about him. And I told this AA member, I will investigate this. No one has ever confronted you about this. I will investigate this. And I investigated, and the person this AA member thought he'd killed was very well alive, very much doing fine, very good businessman, very successful businessman, a normal person. I didn't go up and say, oh, so-and-so thought whatever. I just investigated, proofed beyond doubt that the guy was alive. I called the AA guy back up, and I said, no, you didn't kill him. So it's time for you to enjoy sobriety. You can't use this any longer as a reason to feel crappy and be in a depression. You need to move on. You don't get credit for them partials. See? That don't count. And that's how I used my bad to induce good on another person. That's the point of this fifth step, is to induce something good into people's lives, because we've been forgiven, we've been given the strength, we've been given something to push on, to give on to somebody else, to encourage these other people. Go away from a fifth step hungry. People say, I went away from a fifth step, I'm so relieved. Okay, so you quit going to AA because you got relief. To work a program, if you came here to recover, then you do this fifth step, you receive a fifth step, it gives you the power, the strength to move on with your life, to breathe life in something that's dead. It is a point of reference. Thank you.